If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to Mark chapter 12. I've called this high-level loving. And I want to read from Mark chapter 12, if I might. The question was posed to Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? No, it's a powerful question, isn't it? Which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so I've called this high-level loving. This is the command that we're to love God with everything that's in us. And strangely and remarkably, we're called to love people as much as we love ourselves, which is immense. Right? It's immense how much we love ourselves. And so there is the total man, all right? The total man, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And so the whole man was to love God wholly, no part left out, totally loving the Lord and totally loving one another. I think I've got the wrong verse in there with Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37, that's the one I wanted. But what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You're getting the emphasis, all thing. All your power, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here's the real kicker. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. You can just reduce it down to anything else we might come up with, reduce it down and love God intently with everything there is and love people with that same care. It's powerful. And so there's this commandment, loving your neighbor. I think we like the idea of loving God. My neighbor, The church people at the church, not so sure about that. And yet, loving your neighbor is very, very important. See, the condition, the key condition is, because it's measured, it tells you exactly how much we're to love, as yourself. Loving the people in your world, in my world, with as much as I love myself. I tell people I fell in love with myself at a very early age, and I managed to maintain the relationship ever since. And it's only by a death to Owen, a death to self, that I'm able from not being completely consumed by myself. Because there's something I worry about me. I want me. I don't know about them, but me. What about me? And the Lord said, I want you to love you. Owen, I want you to love your neighbors. And all the people in your world, I want you to love them exactly like that. Exactly as you love yourself. What a lot of loving that would be. Let the Lord speak to you about that. You see, as I love my neighbor, it's often the person that I don't necessarily care for. I think my neighbor sometimes say, well, can't we just love our friends? Well, that's not hard to love your friend. That's what everybody loves their friend because it comes back on you. There's good things happen. You love your friend loves you. But you see, one person said to me when I was broaching this subject, they said, oh, and I don't do neighbor. That's exactly the phrase. I laughed, actually. I said, what was that? He said, I don't really do neighbor. It's never been a strong point for me. Well, I think that's where all of us, we sometimes we don't do neighbor very well. But there's the royal law. And what about the royal law? James chapter 2 and verse 8, that's what it's called. It's so beyond the Gospels, which I quoted for you, and then to the book of James, the royal law that if you really, this is what it says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. You're doing well. You belong to royalty. If you love this law, you belong to royalty. You can get along with yourself if you obey this love. That's just one of the things that happens when you have got the relationships right. So if you have mastered the art of living with yourself, you've mastered life, or bringing your life under the control that we become a fountain of life for everybody that we know. John chapter 15 and verse 2, this is what Jesus said. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, and again and again and again, as I have loved you. Now we're saying, now here's the question, how much does Jesus love you? Well, I think we have an idea. That's how much he loves us. And so, he said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And we may stammer a bit at that, we struggle a bit with that, but that's just the truth. The same love that brought Calvary's cross open to us all. God says, I love you and I want you to love people. And where you can't or where you fail, that to repent of it. Because I think the point of it is all of us fail. Nobody's gets this right where you prepare. But it's there for us. It's in Scripture, clear as could be. See, if you belong to royalty, if you love this law of loving your neighbor as Jesus loves us. You get along in life. There's something about being a source of love and care and concern. It's a very powerful thing. And this is the mark of the Christian. There is a mark. There is a mark. My mark, that God is going to hold this up to for me. He said, Owen, this is how I want you to be. So we look at the quality of those in John 13. In the midst of the world, in the midst of our present dying culture, Jesus is giving a right. He's giving a right to the world. I give you a right. When they see your love, they will know that you are my disciples. That's John 13. When they see your love, they will know that you are my disciples. How powerful is that? That has convicted me this last week. And John 17, verse 21. So I think the two go together. One has to, he said, you love your, as your, you'll be, they'll be your, they'll know you're his disciples if you love one another. Well, I want everybody to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus, don't you? I know you do. Well, this is how you do it. You love people. And that's the guarantee that they will know that you belong to the Lord, that you're one of his disciples because of your love. They'll know that you're my disciple. So this is the final apologetic. This is the ultimate. Number one, as you love one another, they're going to know that you belong to Jesus. And number two, John 17, verse 21, this final apologetic, that here it is, that they may all be one, just as your Father is in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world, now here it is, so that the world may believe that you have sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Higher level learning. I don't think it's even in your notes, that part of it. But that's the apologetic of John 13 and John 17. This, in other words, he's saying, make love visible. I can say all I want, but it's, until it's seen, I think it has very little impact. And I know that our love will not be perfect. I don't think we've pulled it off perfect, but it can be amazingly substantial that this becomes, our church becomes a place of genuine relationships, genuine love, genuine forgiveness. Perfect? No. Substantial? Yes. And when that happens, it's a very, very powerful thing that we are set up. We say to the world, listen, we love the Lord. Well, then it will be seen. There will be a mark. The mark of the Christian, my mark, your mark, all of that is that we love one another as Jesus loved us. And that John 17, that they'll know that the Father has sent the Son. How will they know? When they see our oneness. When they see our oneness, they'll know that the Father has sent the Son. And it'll be observable. You see, love is the mark of Christ. And he says, I want you to wear the badge. The badge is love. That's how you tell. And that's enough. I think according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that everything will pass away. This world is passing away. Hey, I got news for you, a news flash here. I'm passing away. All of us are passing away. And so everything will pass away. But one thing will continue on. One thing will endure forever, and that is love. It will endure forever. And so, love is a powerful, powerful thing. People won't remember what I taught or what you taught. They won't remember a lot of things, but they'll remember how they were treated. And you think, look in your life, you can say, yes, that person was very loving towards me, very kind towards me. And it's tangible. It's visible. Love never fails. So here is the concern. If I fail to love, I really fail. If I fail to love, I really fail. That's the one thing he wants. And I might be a success at this or this or this or this, but if I don't have love, he said, how can you be my disciple? How will the world, again, the great apologetic, John 13, John 17, how will the world know that you're my disciples if you don't love one another? And so whatever conflicts there will be in the in any church, but in this church, just for example, whatever conflicts there might be in some headbutting and some disagreements and somebody's mad and they missed some Sunday and they weren't chosen for the choir and they, you know, all these things that go on and endlessly. What do we do? Well, we have to realize, number one, we cannot tolerate a lack of love. It must be dealt with. And so we try to bring those two people together, or if it's your own life, you can say, I need to go. I said some things I shouldn't have said. I'm making the story up here, but it wouldn't take long to become a real story. But I need to go and I need to talk to them. And what do? We go and we say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that I said what I said, and I trust that you'll forgive me. I was out of order, and I want you to know that I care about you and I appreciate you. And of course, the question comes up then, but what if you don't? What if you don't care about them? What if you can hardly tolerate them? See, there are some people that are easy to love. Some of you are very easy to love. That's just how you are. But what about the people that are not so easy to love? They just aren't. Right? They have rough edges. They've got unmet needs in their life, and they're just not easy people to be around. Hey, you know, we get that. You'd have, if our church has 500 people who call this home, you can be sure that there's some people that are just a little prickly, right? They're kind of easily hurt and easily wounded, and maybe such were some of you. And the Lord begins to shape you and mold you to what? Till you're reduced to love. till you're able to become not just a taker of love, but that you'd be able to love others. And I'd like to think that as the years go by, we're being molded and shaped, and we become like the Lord that we love. And that's a goal, but we can't do it entirely on our own because of it. There's obvious reasons why that is. But love never ends. Faith, hope, but the greatest thing is love. I need to have that whacked over my head. That, what matters? Love matters. That's what matters. Love matters. You see, because love never ends, therefore I cannot fail. I cannot fail if I love. I can't possibly fail, because love never ends. Therefore, I cannot fail if I love. Say, did you pull that off? Not very much. Did you love? Yes. You know, some people don't even receive an apology. Say, I'd like to apologize. Well, you should. Don't they? That's how they treat it. You may want to be loving, then some people, so they're not ready. They're not ready to be loved, and they're not quite mature enough to realize this isn't just a little bit important. This is huge. This is what we're about. This is the final apologetic. They'll know you're my disciples by your love, and number two, they'll know you are mine by the unity. Unity and love. And that's what we have to go on, but that's the part. It's a bit messy. You kind of say, we just love, can you feel the love? Not really, not always. Sometimes there isn't any love. There's animosity. And there's anger. And there's rage. And they say, well, blank you. And away out they go. Sure, happens all the time. It happens all the time. Somebody's hurt. Their feelings are hurt. Their life, you know, is not. They don't have people that care about them. They're angry, and they come and they want to say, "I heard this is a loving place." Well, now here's your chance. Here's your chance to be a loving church. I'm here, and I, you know, and it's like a giant vortex. And of need. Right, it's just a very difficult thing. So this idea that we're just gonna get along so well, do stuff together. You have holidays together. Oh, I can hardly wait for it. No, it's not going to be that good, but it's going to be that substantial. And as we grow in love, so a year from now, you should be a little bit more mature in your love. And a year from now, it should be measurable to say, you know, Owen is growing in love. But it's not an easy thing. It's not that, whatever that, you know, where you say you leave one church to go to another church because they are more loving over there. Hang on, just hang out for a while. You know what my take on? We're all the same. All through, it doesn't matter what church you go to, we're all the same. There will always be the good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes that's me. Where I might have outwardly looked like a pastor, but inwardly, not so much. Inwardly, I didn't hope that bad things would happen to them, but you know how there's part of it that says, well, I hope this person gets what they deserve. Well, I don't want that to be the measurement for my life, but isn't that how it is? That's exactly how it is. So here's the question. So that we grow in love and our ability to express it, right? There's this, boy, I'll tell you, if you come to a church and you meet some loving, caring people who genuinely care about you, given half a chance, you are a rich person. You've got, you know, 90% of the meaning of life. If you've got people in your world that love you and care for you, it's amazing. If you don't have it, it's a very difficult thing to not have people that love you. So you can't demand that they love you. Love me. Remember, what about Bob? We should show that. That would be. I need. Remember, he says, I need. Right after, he says, I'm sailing. Well, you haven't seen it, so. The point of it is, he was so needy that he wrecked everything. He sucked the life out of everything. That was what the movie was about. Baby steps, that's what it was about. So, for all of us here, we can't have a romantic view of love. It must be a realistic view. In a fallen world, we're not quite as patient as we should be, right? We're not quite as long-suffering as we should be. We're still under work. God's still working at us. I used to, in Regina, there was a fellow, kind of a rough guy, very rough, in fact. And he came to the church, and he would stand up, and he would say all kinds of terrible things. This is kind of a confession. And I remember as he'd hold his Bible up, and we were all going down to pray, and he says, he had his Bible under his arm, he says, "Well, I suppose I should go down and pray. I don't know what the hell I'm going to pray about." Well, he was like that all the time. And people were all offended until we kept saying to them, "Listen, he's new. He's not quite perfected yet. There's still areas of his life. You can't expect him after, 40 years of rough language to get the Christian language down in a few months or a few years. It's going to take a long time." And there was substantial growth in that man's life. Was it? No, he was still at his funeral. We all could talk about him because he was a salty old character. And not everybody liked him. And yet there he is. This church is going to be full of people that you may not like. They're not your kind of person. They're too this, they're too loud, they're too this, they're too demanding, they're too taking. I just don't care for them. No. And wouldn't that be, you know what Yavis people are? Young, attractive, vocal, intelligent. I think I'm missing one. Successful. And we all want Yavis people to come to the church. No, just a little bit of fine-tuning, they'll be good. They're basically got their act together. Just a little fine-tuning maybe wouldn't hurt a bit, but apart from that, they're good. But you know how God never brings, seldom does he bring Yavis people. He brings rough tea people, difficult people, people that have been here and done that, and they've survived. But they somehow, by the grace of God, got to our church. I don't know who told them. I don't know what it was, but I think they said, "Listen, this is a loving church. You should go to that church. That's where there's love." Because we understand the mandate of John 13 and John 17. Because we want to be Jesus' disciples, that's our goal. And we want the world to know that we're one. And that's in John 17. That's what people do, folks. They say, "Go to that church. It's a really good church. They'll really love you there." And I'm saying, "Oh man, are they coming?" Because it's going to require, I sense, there'll be lots of people that, because they've come out of pain, they've come out of rejection, they've come out of problems, and so that's who shows up. Not at all like you thought it was going to be. But here's this opportunity, because it's the one thing that we get a chance to do here. And that's to be loving, genuinely so. That you take that person. So there's a certain costliness to this. You can't, it's not, but it's, I think it's worth it. And even if some people never change. I've told you this 100 times probably, but I had a guy I met with every Tuesday for an hour. We would meet for coffee in different coffee shops that we would find. He was a big guy, boy, giant of a guy. Probably about 6'4", probably at least that, 300 pounds. I had never felt threatened with him at my side. He was a frightening guy, actually, in many ways. And I spent, and I was glad to spend that time. I was thankful that I could meet with him, just to keep in touch with him. And then he killed himself. He killed himself. And, you know, what's that about? What is that about? All that time. Like we're talking years, all that time. What's that about? And I felt the Lord say, exercise in love. Exercise in love. He said, I didn't tell you to change him. I told you to love him. And that's all you can do. See, some of you can't, some people don't want to be fixed, or they're not ready to be fixed. Oh, nobody wants to be fixed ever. I have to back that off. They don't want to be fixed. But they just don't. So if you say, well, I want things to happen, if I'm going to be loving, I want to expect things that, well, they will and they won't. There'll be many things that because of your love and your care and your concern for people, they're really growing. And they too have added other people. They've brought other people to the church because you were so kind and so caring. But you know how it is. The world can spot phoniness 25 miles away, can't they? They can sense it. They can sense whether we're just, you know, and so they come and they know if we're hypocrites or whether we're the real thing. And somehow, by the grace of God, I think we want to be the real thing. That when people come, what they saw is what they got. That it was there, it was real. And again, perfect? No, not perfect, but substantially good. That it's the best thing afloat. Wouldn't we like to be able to say, listen, we're not the only show in town, but we have declared that we're going to be God's people. And the mark, the badge that we wear is John 13 and John 17. To love as much as Jesus says, I love you. And that's all. And we say, okay, then here I am. And then, Lord, we ask you to transform our church so that it doesn't come across as a religious place, but it comes across as a real place where there's relationships that are so rich. I love it when I see people going out. They're going to go and meet someone for coffee, and they're going to hang out together. And, you know, even here on Sundays in the second service, there are people are here till 2 o'clock. They're at 2 o'clock. Nobody's got a gun to their head. Julian was the one that pointed that out to me, but how everybody hangs out for such a long time. He says, you can't get them to go home, right? Well, we don't want them to, but they're comfortable meeting with their friends and hanging out and demonstrating, I hope, love that that person, their guest, would want to come and stay and be a part of it, be a part of this great campaign that God has called us to. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to fail in love. There are lots of things I can fail in. I don't want to fail in love. And so we're going to ask the Lord that, knowing that everything else is going to pass away, everything is going to pass away except the love that you had for people. As I have loved you. Well, I can't get away from that. Thank you, God, for loving me. And by the way, thank you for love. I feel loved by you in this church. I do. I'm grateful for your love. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to feel loved in a church. Now, I got an advantage. I'm a pastor. But I'm still grateful for your love. And there's people here that, you see, don't wait for people to love you. You'll be waiting too long. If you're new here, lay across the steps, this doorway, just lay across it. So they have to step over you to get. Now, they might just say, what's your name, Mr. Smith? Oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Smith, and keep on walking. But maybe they won't. But don't wait for people to love on you. You take the right hand of fellowship. You reach out and watch what will happen. Even the slightest little thing. And it'll be remarkable, quite, quite remarkable. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that we not fail. By the way, I have failed in lots of things with having new relationships. We didn't handle it right the way we should have. We were too harsh. Speaking of myself, it was a little too harsh, a little too demanding that they change. And if I could do it, I would do it differently. But some things you have to say, well, it is what it is. But by God's grace, I want to be a conduit of love and care. And when we fail, to go to that person and say, listen, I'm sorry. They said, I didn't feel very loved. I'm sorry that we didn't make you feel loved. I really am sorry that we didn't make you feel loved. Because we wanted to. So badly we wanted to. And sometimes people will give you a second chance. Sometimes they don't. But the whole thing is that you're on a journey and I'm on a journey to become more like the one that called us, the one that we celebrated here this morning. So, Father, we know that when we turn on the radio or even the TV, there's always songs about love. Everywhere. We know that the world is craving love. And we pray, God, that as a church and as individuals, that there will be a quality about us that we take time for people and we reach out to people. And Lord, we ask that you would give us grace that we would not fail in this crucial thing of being your disciples. We thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for convicting us. And we pray, God, that there would be substantial relationships, substantial gatherings and moments together where it would just be like heaven came down. And Lord, where we fail, that we go quickly to one another and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And so, Lord, we now give ourselves to you. We thank you and we praise you for Calvary's love. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do, we've got a few minutes here. We want your quick reaction. What did God say to you? Not what did he say to all of us. What did he say to you? What did you hear? Yes. A little louder. Yes, yes. But kindness. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Brother Pritchard used to always say that grace is wasted on most of us. In other words, you didn't even realize how much God loved us and cared for us. Not to that. We'll take a couple more. If not, they have to they choose the world's approach or the what meets needs. Yes, wow, that's very good. Somebody else. I think love can be felt. You've walked into a different church than this one, and you say, wow, it's just really a loving place. They can feel something in this. There's an anointing of love, and I think that we should often pray that way. First impressions are really important. And not that we're trying to be fakey and all, but you don't get two chances to make an impression. You get one chance. And So you hope that, dear Lord, that they smell the air and say, well, this smells pretty good in here. It feels like I can feel the love. Now again, not crazy, it's not phony stuff, just real love. Anybody else? Barb. Now, the louder part, please.
I say, I think in children and adults, I've found the most unlovable are the ones who need love the most.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, there you are. That's the definitive word for the morning. Yeah, they need love the most. The closing thought that I wrote this, how is this pulled off? I don't have to love, I have to let love me into loving. That's in your notes. In other words, the great lover lives in you. Just yield to him and he will automatically love through you. It cannot be any other way. It is always that way. I'll say it again. I don't have to love. In other words, I don't have to conjure up something here. I don't have to do that. I have to let love me into loving. In other words, get it off you. Put it on the Lord. Let the Lord love through you to that difficult person or that needy person that Barb has mentioned, or that child or that adult. And they need love. But you will be burned out trying to love people. You have to let Christ love through us. I think that's one of the basic things, but really, really necessary. One more. Yes, that's true. Whether we get along, we have to get along though, don't we? Sometimes it's a little harder than other times, but yes, we do. That's good. Very good. We're a family. And you know, when you see a funeral or something, you know, you're always, I'm always touched by it, the care and the concern and the people that cared about that person. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Let's stand. Again, dear Lord, for your love, we are overwhelmingly thankful. You are the best thing that's ever happened to me, Lord. And I pray that I will be a conduit of that love and concern. And I pray for everybody here under the sound of my voice that, Lord, there will be a real baptism of love in our hearts that will resound to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, it's a perfect day for the patio, so come on down and join us so we can get some neighbor nudging going. Thank you.